Hello, and welcome to the Social Disease Podcast. I'm Bridget.
And I'm Jasper.
And today we're finally wrapping up season 7. Yay! Yes.
The end of an era.
Oh man, it's crazy. So much happened this season, I feel like.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I don't care.
No, it's definitely up there for me. Like I was saying last time, like this season pulled through. It was awesome.
Besides the college plots, of course.
Yeah, let's pretend those didn't happen, I think.
Yeah, they didn't even happen at Degrassi. So is it really Degrassi plots?
Nope. But today we're going to be talking about Manny, Emma, Toby, Liberty, and a little bit of Sean and some Jay. So we got a lot combined together. So it's going to be a long episode for our last season 7 one.
Yeah, it's a true season finale. Going out with a bang. Might drive a hearse into a wall.
Ooh.
Okay, so we're going to get started with Toby Isaacs. He has finally gotten some plots for the first time in forever.
God, he went there.
Yeah. I mean, he's not in the opening credits anymore, so the disrespect.
Yep.
But Toby has two plots in season 7. The first is at the very beginning where he is still sad about JT's murder. And he is especially mad that Lakehurst is now at Degrassi because someone from Lakehurst murdered JT. And especially Johnny DeMarco, who was there when JT got stabbed, is kind of antagonizing Toby. And so there's a bit of a conflict between those two. And so Toby does a podcast episode about how awful Lakehurst is. And that causes some waves at Degrassi. Everyone apparently listens to Toby's podcast. Maybe he should send them our way. But it just escalates tensions with Lakehurst. And there's not really a fight that happens, but there's just kind of an argument between Toby and Johnny. And so Liberty tells Toby that he is being a dumbass. And Toby is like, you know what? You're right. Then he goes and is sad at JT's grave. And then he releases a follow-up podcast where he apologizes for being an ass and says that maybe the new Lakers kids could be friends in the future. And then the next plot and his last plot, we already talked about it a little bit. It's where Toby and Holly J start kind of helping each other out with, I think Holly J needs help with math and Toby needs help with dancing for his gym class. And Holly J develops a crush on him, but she's embarrassed about it because she is the it girl, she's the queen bee, and she does not want to have a crush on nerdy Toby. But she eventually gets over it and asks him out in a completely backhanded way. But Toby rejects her because he respects himself, and Toby Isaacs calls the shots. And that's really it for Toby. He does have a couple other things where he's kind of helping out Liberty. He does ask out Liberty to the prom, and there's a moment where Liberty rejects him when he asks for something more, but that's really it for Toby.
Pretty easy. Toby got 1.5 plots, maybe. It seems. All right, starting with the JT Lakehurst stuff, it's really sad still. It is very sad because JT's been gone for a little bit, and it's not that you forget about him, but everybody kind of seems to move on, and Toby is still not over it, which is completely fair, but I feel like they don't really give us enough of it. It's just very brief. It's like, JT's still dead, I'm still sad, and then that's about it.
Right. It's the same problem with Toby and Liberty, honestly, that there's bits and pieces of grief that we see from both of them over JT's death, but it's not really, they don't really dive into it very much or very well at all, really. Like, yeah, Toby's mad at Lakehurst and especially at Johnny for being there when JT was stabbed, and that's completely fair. And then he just kind of gets over it because Liberty told him off. Oh, I guess so. I don't know.
I feel like it's also, it is fair for him to be upset that Lakehurst is at the school, but Liberty is kind of right where she's like, Lakehurst didn't kill JT, like it was one person. Johnny was there, which I'm sure isn't ideal either. You know, he's at the school. But once Johnny realized who Toby was, like when Toby and him had that conversation, Johnny was like, all right, like I'm fine with calling it. Like if you want to have a peace treaty. And I think he genuinely meant it. And I don't think Toby was in the wrong for asking for an apology at all. I think that's completely fair. I was just kind of surprised that Johnny was like, fuck off about that. Because you'd think if he wanted the piece that bad, he would have just been like, yeah, sorry about all that. But he did not.
Well, we do see in the Darcy Troubled Teens episode thing that Johnny is like really fucked up about being there when JT was killed.
Yeah, which so, I'm sure he is.
So Johnny's such an interesting character, and I'm excited to talk about him more next season. But like, it does make sense that like he hasn't fully processed the fact that he was kind of an accomplice to a murder.
Yeah. Johnny, I feel like, is the face of wrong place at the wrong time. You know, like, he didn't know his friend was going to do something that fucking stupid, and then it happened, and now he has to deal with it just as much as everybody else. But I think it's so funny that Liberty was like, I feel a podcast coming on, when Toby was like, oh, I hate it here. So I'm like, yes, Toby, you are one of us.
Yes, we should get Toby to guest star.
That would be so great. Maybe we'll tweet at him and see what comes.
But yeah, outside of the kind of disappointing way that they handled the grief of JT's death, how do you feel about how they handled the Lakehurst integration as a whole in the season? Because it's kind of a constant throughout the season that like there's some conflict between Degrassi and Lakehurst kids, and like just the problems with like integrating the characters into the cast and stuff.
I thought it was done pretty realistically, honestly, like especially with Damien, I don't know why I said Damon, I've never said that. Damien's character being like, we were a separate school, like, I don't see why we can't have our own sports and kind of continue as like separate, but everybody's like, separation is not going to make us stronger, like, it's better to just kind of become one. But I feel like it's a lot easier from the Degrassi side to say that because they're not giving up anything. They're kind of just being like, we get to keep everything exactly the same. It's Lakehurst that has to change, kind of thing.
Right.
But I do give Degrassi a lot of credit for creating this kind of issue and keeping it going throughout many seasons. Because I feel like it came up before, you know, like with JT and like Lakehurst and the drama with Mia. And then like the next season, they still, you know, they're trying to prevent them from coming to their school for the sports. And then their school burns down and now they're there. It's like kind of interesting how they continued that.
Yeah, I really liked how they really followed through with the Lakehurst conflict. Compared to last season, like the main reason why the conflict is there is JT now rather than just like a regular school rivalry. And so I liked how that you could really feel the tension like in several different plot lines, like with the Manny and Damien plot line you just referenced, or like when Spinner is beating up Johnny and Bruce the Moose, and even later with Liberty and Damien fighting over Valedictorian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really like a constant throughout the season. And then it also integrated the Lakehurst characters. So like Holly J, Anya, Sav, and Jane, I think are the main ones. And
yeah.
Johnny. And so I think they did a really good job, even if a school burning down and fully integrating with another school might not be the most realistic thing to ever happen. I still think they handled the concept well in terms of how the conflict was already pre-existing from season 6, and they did a good job of making that conflict continue and actually, I would say, resolve itself by the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like your point about how it's seen throughout different characters. It really is. Like, it's seen with the overcrowding. It's seen with like the so much busing and the cars and the fighting over who's auditorium, what sports teams. Like, it kind of created more conflicts in different areas of Degrassi than just the usual like personal issues going on. So I liked it. And it's even funnier to think that like Sav and Holly J and stuff like came from a different school. Like Degrassi would not be what it is without them.
Right.
But sorry, Toby, we left you in the dust there as usual.
Well, I did want to get back to him specifically with the Holly J episode. Like, we already talked about that a bit from Holly J's perspective a couple episodes ago, but I wanted to talk about it in terms of like Toby's overall growth, because we haven't really seen much of him recently, right? He just kind of pops in here and there to either support JT or Liberty through whatever they're going through, but he hasn't really done anything for himself, I would say, since like Rick died.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. I think that this was a good showing of him kind of coming into understanding who he is as a person. He's not settling for this quote unquote popular girl to be like, oh, if you're seen with me, like, I think I said this in the last one, like, who cares? He's a senior. He doesn't need popularity. Like, that's not what he's worried about. He's experienced two deaths in his high school career of like two of his best friends. Like, this kid is not looking for validation from anybody. And I really like that.
Right. And that really shows his growth from the beginning, because I'd say at least from season two, when JT started branching out in friendships, Toby got left behind and he had that whole wrestling eating disorder thing where he wanted to be popular through that. Then he was like trying to be friends with Jimmy again and trying to be popular because of him. And so it was really cool to see, even though we haven't seen much of him for himself in the past few seasons, how like he still has had some growth behind the scenes, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he did. The one thing that really didn't change, I guess, was his like secret crush on Liberty, which I'm sure has existed since, I think, JT's death, but they didn't really advertise that too much. But I think him and the Holly J thing, like, for sure showed that he is over it. He doesn't want to deal with stupid petty drama. Like, he's sick of being called names. And I think him being like, fuck off, Holly J, was really good.
Yes, I agree. And with respect to the Liberty crush, I will say it is a little disappointing that Liberty just like blew him off with that.
I guess Liberty doesn't owe him anything. And from what it seems like, he's had plenty of time to tell her that he's got a crush on her and like didn't. Unfortunate part is we don't really know what Toby's doing after graduation, right? Like, did they ever say?
No.
So, I don't know. It would have been cute if they were going to the same college.
Then Toby would have been in the college plots with Emma, Liberty, and Manny.
Yeah, because Liberty doesn't end up going to Banting, right?
No, she goes to Smithdale somehow with Emma and Manny.
That's what I was like, there. That wasn't consistent, because I thought her and Damien were going to Banting. Whatever, not the point.
Yeah, they changed their minds like in between seasons.
Okay. But I do kind of wish that they just kept Liberty and Toby as friends. There didn't need to be that secret crush part. I think it would have been fine without it.
Yeah, I think it's fine that they are friends. I just wish, again, with like the grief thing with JT, that they had some form of bonding with Toby and Liberty over that. Like, there's not really much of that at all. Like, Toby just like guilts her when she hooks up with Damien. It's like, oh, hey, remember JT who died a couple months ago and now you're hooking up with someone else? No, you should not be talking about JT like that. You should be talking about the good times. I don't know.
No, he's just using JT as an excuse to make her feel guilty because he likes her. That's the thing. Like, it just kind of destroys Toby's character the way that he likes Liberty. Because if he was just like, I want to be a good friend to Liberty because we're friends, we've been friends forever, like, I would respect that, but I don't know. Liberty also, we'll talk about her. I don't know. Overall, Toby, I don't know if I wish he had more, honestly. I don't really know who he would have been with. They kind of killed off all his friends.
Yeah.
That's the downfall, is like, who else is, I mean, like, they probably could have put him with, like, Danny and Derek if they really wanted to, but.
Well, honestly, I always still had a little hope for Emma and Toby from their season one crush.
No, as a Sean fan, I can't agree with that.
I just think about the good old days.
Season one sucked ass, come on.
No!
Okay, so overall, Toby as a character, what do you think?
He deserved better in terms of actually getting plots after like season three or four.
I agree. After JT died, they kind of were like, we don't know what to do with him.
Before that.
That too.
But especially after JT's death.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of like took him and Ashley and they were like, yeah, we know they're step siblings, but who cares? We don't need them.
Yeah. Oh, wasted potential.
They can't all be stars, Jasper.
Okay. Do you want to move on to Emma?
I thought we aren't doing Liberty next. I read the notes wrong. Yes, We can do Emma. I will allow it. Speaking of notes, everybody, big deal. I finished my Degrassi notebook of notes. I started season 10 when we first recorded, and I've run out of paper. So big deal for me. Anyway, Emma.
Okay, let's get on to Emma. And we will also feature Snake's whole dilemma and Sean coming back for the 10th time again. Okay, so Emma actually has a pretty chill season, all things considered, considering the rest of her time on the show. So the first thing she does is the infamous Purple Dragon episode where Degrassi is once again like getting paid, or like they're paying Purple Dragon or whatever to sponsor this energy drink at Degrassi. Liberty tries to enlist Emma to like protest against Purple Dragon just because they don't want advertising at their school and in their education. And Emma initially joins by way of kind of infiltrating Purple Dragon itself. She gets picked as like the student model for Purple Dragon, but then she kind of gets wrapped up into it a little bit. She kind of lets it get to her head. So she like kisses Damien in the middle of the hallway while she's still technically dating Sean at this point. But eventually Emma realizes that Purple Dragon is a very unhealthy place for her and in general, because they are perpetuating unrealistic body standards for women, like the, I don't even know who she was. It seemed like she was just a college spokesperson for Purple Dragon. But like this woman is like, yeah, you are our biggest size dress. So you better get your shit together or we will kick you out, you fatty. And so this causes Emma to spiral a teeny bit. She has a scene where she is standing in front of the mirror and kind of analyzing her body, but she does not kind of give in, and she decides to actually protest against Purple Dragon, which leads to the famous scene where Emma takes her dress off in front of the whole school in protest of Purple Dragon and everything they stand for. And so this is honestly probably my favorite Emma moment ever, but she ends up not getting in trouble for this. She just like gets some detention for breaking the dress code. And yeah, she's just very proud of herself for doing the right thing. And that's kind of where we leave off with that kind of part of Emma. Oh, she also decides to like send Sean a phone call or a note. I wasn't sure exactly how she did it, but she's like, yeah, I need to tell Sean that we are not dating anymore. But from there, Emma and Damien are talking a bit more, but it's a bit hard because Snake is on house arrest, or like Emma can't have friends over because of Snake's sexual assault allegations against Darcy. And so Emma is having a bit of a hard time at home. She's going a little stir crazy with Snake kind of being stressed and Spike not dealing well with Snake being stressed. So Emma and Damien go on a couple dates. He like lends her some books, but she moves a bit too fast in their relationship. And she like adopts a dog off of Craigslist and is like, hey, Damien, let this be our dog. And Damien is a bit freaked out by this, but he eventually, yeah, he forgives her and recognizes that she's going through a hard time, and they get together as official boyfriend girlfriend. Moving on from that is that Snake finally finds out that he has been cleared of all his sexual assault allegations, and he is allowed to go back to teach at Degrassi. But he is a bit nervous at first to go back, just because his reputation is pretty much ruined at Degrassi since everyone has heard about the allegations against him. And so he gets some encouragement from Emma at first. She like gets a poster signed by like 300 Degrassi students who want him back. And that encourages him to go back. But in one of his first classes, I think it was Lucas, Mia's baby daddy, who like starts bullying him in the middle of class by showing him this really ugly infographic about how Snake is a pervy teacher. And so Snake kind of goes off the deep end because of this. He gets drunk and skips school for the day. And this causes Spike to like call him out for being a bum and for not handling the situation well. And she decides to go live at her mom's place for a while with Jack. And she wants Emma to go with her, but Emma decides to stay with Snake to try and help him out and just kind of get him the help that he needs while he's going through a tough time. And Snake, I think he also started going to some counseling thing with like the teachers union. I wasn't entirely sure what that was. Richard, I don't know if you know what that is, but like he got to talk to somebody about his feelings, which is always a good thing for people to do. And then he eventually does return back to Degrassi, and Spike returns back home. And the same time that this is happening, Sean comes back from boot camp right before he ships out to the army. And so Snake is like, oh, I'm out of shape, blah, blah, blah. And Sean offers to give him a gym day or something to like help him train and lose some weight. So there's a cute little training montage where Sean is training Snake, but Sean like goes crazy at one point about like going hard and like being a good soldier and whatever. And so Snake comforts him through this and talks about how far Sean has come as a person and that he will be fine in the army and at war. And we end the Emma and Sean saga by them making a recreation of their first date picture. Very cute. So Sean leaves forever to the army and Emma ends up graduating, and then Damien ends up cheating on her, but we'll talk about that later with Liberty.
Okay. Nice. Solid. Emma had her usual protest.
Yes.
In this season. So that was kind of nice. You know, we got a little bit of a normal Emma going on. Okay. Starting with, I guess, Purple Dragon, really, right?
Yeah. Like, honestly, I think the Purple Dragon episode is like the quintessential Emma episode.
Absolutely. Like, it is one that I just like never forget. It is something that I always remember. Like, the second I hear Purple Dragon, I'm like, yes, this is it. This is such a good one. And it's good for so many reasons.
Yeah, it pretty much encapsulates everything about Emma's character from like the very beginning. Like, it has her protesting. It has her dealing with her body image. It has her being a little hypocritical at times, which is a key facet of Emma's character. And it just kind of helps like round out everything that she's done since the very beginning.
Yes, absolutely. I think to start with it too is that it was really interesting because Liberty and her were kind of going at it about it, and they were on the same page, it seemed like, but they were still fighting. Like, I didn't really get why they were both like, this is dumb, but neither of them really knew like where to go from there. But when Emma got picked to be like the model, I thought Liberty was hilarious with her like reasoning for why you should drink Purple Dragon. She was like, oh, the electrolytes, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, eh, no, too much. But sad to find out that I would not be a Purple Dragon girl, because you need to be a minimum of 5'7". And I am a minimum of 5'3", maybe, on a good day. So
yeah, I couldn't even be a Purple Dragon girl. I'm only 5'6".
So us tiny people over here would be like maybe junior Purple Dragons.
Is there a name for a baby dragon?
Baby dragon? Puff?
A puff?
I don't know.
Purple puffs.
I like that. That's us. I just made that up. So hopefully there's no trademark for that. But I thought it was such a good thing for Emma because it showed that she was not going to go back to her eating disorder self. And I felt that was so important because when they were like, do you want to eat dinner? And she goes, no, after she was like staring at herself in the mirror, like picking apart herself. And then her dad's like, we made your favorite, like blah, blah. And then she's like, you know what? Yes. I was like, oh, what a relief. Like, it's so good to see that she is like recovered. And even though she could have lapsed because somebody was being awful to her, she didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't really seen Emma dealing with her eating disorder too much since like it first started in season 5. Like, she's referenced it a couple times. Like, she talked about it with Sean at the beginning of season 6, I think. But I think that was really it. So we haven't really referenced it in a while. But like, I liked how they were able to show through that kind of mirror scene how it is something that she is dealing with on and off throughout her life.
Yeah, I think they also do that kind of with Katie too later on. It's like, it is something that you are always going to deal with, even if it doesn't seem like you are, or you seem like you're okay. And I think that showed really well here, especially with all the Snake stuff going on and her mom continuously saying like, Emma likes to take control, like she's still recovering. And she is, like, you know, it's always a recovery. So I think that them bringing it back, I think they did a good job. I don't think they completely like disguised it anymore. She did bring it up with Sean, like it has been coming up since it happened. So it's not like it was a one and done. I think that they're doing it as realistically as it would be. for somebody who's recovering, in my opinion.
Right. Because even with the snake thing, like, that's a similar type of family situation that was going on in season 5, which kind of helped lead to the eating disorder in the first place.
Yeah.
So with both this, like, stress from Purple Dragon and then the stress from her family situation, it was nice to see how, like, two stressful situations where it would have been very easy for her to relapse, that she was able to healthily take control of the situation and take care of herself at the same time.
Absolutely. This is why I think this season is so good. Degrassi, like, just, they were on it. They were like, what are we going to bring back? How can we reference it? How can we show that Emma's okay? Here it is. And her taking off the dress, iconic. Oh, so good. And then I love how Manny, like, runs up and covers her up. It kind of reminded me of when she got her period too.
True.
And then she kind of just owned it. And I was like, wow, this is like 3-4 years later and it's the same thing. Manny coming up to cover up Emma. I'm like, oh, I love it.
Yes. True friends right there.
Absolutely.
But like the other parts of it, like besides just the body image, there's also like, of course, the protest, which we haven't really seen from Emma in a while. Like, I guess there was the Lakehurst kind of protest last season, but we kind of talked about how in that case, Emma was not really protesting for the right reasons there. So like Emma hasn't really had like a true, how do you say it? Like a morally right protest in a very long time. Like, what was it? Season 1, she was like protesting, I think, again, advertising at the schools, right?
It was the computer stuff.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, then season 2, she had like the GMO foods, which like, regardless of what you think of GMO foods, I think that was a fine protest. Yeah. But then I think all the protests after that, Emma was kind of protesting for wrong reasons. Like she was protesting Sean because she was mad that he broke up with her. And then she was protesting Rick because she had no friends. So like, this is like the first genuinely good protest that Emma has had in a while. I did like that because it also showed how Emma has grown up from like her being angsty about being broken up with Sean and that she is actually standing up for what she actually believes in rather than being petty.
Yeah, and I think there was also, after the shooting, she had a lot of issues with kind of coming back into it too. Like I remember somebody was like, oh, Emma, help us protest. And she was like, I don't really feel like it. And I feel like that was just a warning sign of like, okay, she's not okay because she loves this shit. Right. So I think with her, you know, past eating disorder, Sean's gone. Like it just makes sense for her to be like, all right, especially since body image is now a huge deal for her. Like it's a huge thing that she, I'm sure, you know, like she dealt with on her own and she doesn't want anybody else to experience it. So she did awesome. Awesome job.
Yes. And like, especially again, like she's healthily kind of taking control of the protest of her body later on, healthily like dealing with the snake situation rather than just sinking into the negative behaviors like the eating disorder or getting some social diseases.
Nice. But before she protests, she does kiss Damien on the mouth.
Yeah. It was like a very spicy kiss too. She like cups his cheeks and like does like a mwah, mwah, mwah.
Yeah, especially since she was technically still dating Sean.
Yeah. Their relationship status was very strange to me throughout this whole season.
From what it sounded like was that they were still together. They were mailing each other things and they were communicating. So when she got dragged into this Purple Dragon stuff and like was kissing Damien on the mouth, which we know her and Damien were going to get together eventually, like after Manny and him broke up and like that was done, they had been flirting since literally then. So it was bound to happen. But yeah, it was kind of out of character for her to like flat out cheat on Sean.
I agree. I just think she had kind of already emotionally broken up with him.
Yeah, but you still can't cheat on, like, come on, you know, like, and then she tries to use the excuse that it's for the campaign.
Yeah.
But we're all like, all right, girl, I don't know what you're doing, but that's not the move.
Well, that's like the hypocrisy aspect of this episode, because we know Emma could be a massive hypocrite all the time. And this was exactly that.
You're so right. But then at the end of the episode, I think she realizes that she needs to break up with Sean at least.
Yes.
So that was good.
What did you think about like the spokes lady person?
I don't know. They just needed a villain. Like, it was just kind of weird. They said she was a college advertising major. So I just can't even imagine a school like doing this either. I'm thinking about my high school. Like, there's no way that they would buy into this program where they're like having their girls dress up in towels and walk around. I know they were wearing dresses, but they really did look like towels. I just really couldn't see it. And even Snake was like, Emma, what are you wearing there? Like, because it was not appropriate. Like, it was not quote unquote school appropriate. So I can't really see why a school bought into this anyway. That girl was a bitch. So
yeah, to me, she got caught up in a pyramid scheme and she was in too deep.
Absolutely. That is a great way to look at it. It's such a pyramid scheme. Because yeah. It's like, and then she's like, you can't drink this. It's like 2 zillion calories. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, it's like she would totally today be an influencer who's trying to sell me some shit that's going to give me cancer in 10 years.
I'd be like, have you heard of Bitcoin? I'd be like, please leave me alone.
Okay, but let's move on to Emma and Damien. After their big smooch, they get together.
I can't stand Damien. I don't know who he is. Like, it just, none of it makes sense to me. I just don't know who he is. I don't know who his character is. I don't know if he's a good guy. He seemed like a good guy, but then he like definitely is not a good guy.
Yeah, he's very on and off for me.
Kind of reminds me of Peter. Like, he's kind of just driven by whatever girl he's interested in.
I think he is a little smarter than that, I guess. I don't know. Like, he doesn't really have much outside of being smart and into the main girls, Manny, Emma, and Liberty.
I think he's a dick. I think he's not a nice guy. From like him insulting Manny for no reason, right? Like, remember when he like commented on her, he was like, oh, what do you know about politics? It's like, done. Immediately done. Because I'm already sick of everybody calling Manny dumb to begin with, so I'm over it. But then he's like, he literally flip-flops from Manny to Emma in like 1 second. And I'm pretty sure after him and Manny break up, like 1 second later, he's like, oh, Emma's single, right? And she's like, haha, good one. And it's like, no, that wasn't a joke. That was not a joke. He was not kidding. Like, he went right for Emma. It did take a while for them to get together. But in the end, I do not like Damien. I'm not a fan. I don't like him as a character. I think he's a great representation of Lakehurst. That's all I gotta say about him.
I don't mind him too much. Like, he's definitely a bit condescending at times, for sure. Like, especially when he's bragging to Toby about cheating on Emma with Liberty. I was like, bro, calm down. But yeah, I don't hate him as much as maybe some other asshole characters like Craig, but that's maybe just because he's not a real character. Like, he's just there to like be a body for the girls to pass around, really.
Which is weird because I feel like they could have done without him too. Or if they were to have him, they didn't need for him to date everybody.
Yeah, because especially his relationship with Emma is, there's not much to it. They just date and like, that's it.
Which is crazy because it seems like it's way more serious than it is.
Right, like I feel like I remember them being a bigger deal than they were when I just rewatched. But like, they get together, they don't do anything, then he cheats on her, you know?
Yeah, because it takes them pretty much the entire season to even get together, because she's with Sean and then they kiss and then she breaks up with Sean and then like her and Damien like flirt for a while and then finally they like hang out, right? And then she adopts a dog because he likes dogs. I was like, Emma, chill. And even he was like, that's weird, which fair. He just doesn't, I don't know. He didn't rub me the right way. I didn't like him.
Yeah, I don't think he was meant to be a big character. I guess he was supposed to kind of be like the Lakehurst character more than anybody else, because he was really the first Lakehurst character we really met in season 6. I don't know. Like, I don't hate him. I just don't care for him one way or another, really.
I think he is the face of a rebound for Emma, and I think that's why she didn't care that much at the end when he cheated on her. I mean, like, she was pissed, but I don't think she like cared enough where it was like the end, you know, like they were gonna go to different colleges anyway, kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, I would say he was definitely a rebound.
For sure. And then I guess that's mostly it for Emma herself. Before you go on to Snake and Sean, do you have any other thoughts on Emma?
I would say it's funny because usually Manny is a big supporter, like supporting role for Emma. But I feel like in this season, it kind of switched a little bit.
Yeah. Like
Emma was definitely more of the supporting role for Manny.
Yeah, for sure. Like if anything, I'd say Emma and Manny were equal, at least starting from Manny's makeover in season 3. But yeah, Emma definitely took the backseat to Manny this season.
Yeah, most of the other scenes that Emma is in is like ones where her and Manny are talking about Manny. And I'm cool with it. I don't mind. I don't think there was much more that Emma needed to do for herself anyway.
Yeah, she definitely showed her growth, especially from all of her bullshit that she's done in the past couple seasons. But she definitely graduated high school at a good place.
I agree. Do you want to go into Snake stuff?
Sure.
I thought it was really dramatic of Emma to make this about herself. It kind of didn't seem fitting for me. Like, it didn't seem like that was how she would normally react. Like, she was just so mad at him for this, even though this wasn't his fault.
I don't think she was mad at him for the situation. She was mad at how he was reacting to, like, him coming back to school and getting bullied.
Well, no, she was mad before he even came back. She kept saying, like, why am I under house arrest? My life sucks. He's like, well, how do you think I feel? Like, I literally can't even leave the house. She's like, well, I can't even go anywhere. Like, meh, meh, meh. It's like, Emma, you see your friends at school. Your dad's having a hard time. Give him a break. And like, it just was so weird. I'm like, why is she making this about her?
Okay, I see what you mean.
But then she does show some like development by standing by his side when Spike leaves.
Yeah, I guess this is the Damien episode, right? Where she gets the dog that you're referring to.
I think I'm thinking about before that, even.
Because that's the episode where she's like, oh, Damien, you have to leave because my parents are coming home and I can't have people from school over.
Yeah, it was like before that, because that the episode either right before that, a few before that, she was like, can Manny come over? And they were like, no. And she was like, well, can I go to Manny's? And they were like, no, we have to meet with the lawyer. And she was like, I don't understand what I have to be a part of it. My life's being ruined. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Emma, chill. Just like be there, be a daughter right now. Like there's nothing you can do about it. But I guess also she's a high school kid. So like, what do you expect?
Yeah, well, like what could she do? I wouldn't say it's her job to take care of Snake.
No, it's not. But I feel like, I don't know, it kind of was useless for her to be complaining and blaming it on. It's like, I didn't do anything wrong. It's like, we know you didn't do anything wrong. Nobody's saying you did anything wrong. It's just, this is the consequences of another girl's actions right now. I was like, why is she being so pissy? I guess.
Yeah, I see your point. I didn't really think too much of it, I guess.
It annoyed me.
Yeah, it's just classic Emma. You know, she does this all the time. I guess I just wasn't surprised as much by it as you were.
I don't know. I was kind of surprised because I thought she was a little more, because she was so pissed at Darcy about this whole thing. So you'd think that she wouldn't come home and like rag on Snake for this. You didn't like think much of this part, which is fine, but this part bothered me a lot.
Yeah, I think she was just venting her frustrations more than anything to me. Like, she didn't really mean anything by it, is how I see it. She was just mad at the situation, which, like, why wouldn't she be? I don't think she was necessarily making it about herself. She was just talking about her experience in the situation and just kind of venting, rather than, like, saying, like, oh, Snake, I have it worse than you, who can't even work.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, like, I know she was being bullied at school about it, so that's fine. And she brings that up, too. She's like, I have to deal with it here, and then I have to come home, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, Snake definitely dealt with the bullying much worse than Emma did, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I would do in his position. I feel like not a lot of people do come back. I think a lot of people transferred schools if this were to happen. I don't think he would go back to the same school. I don't know how common that is.
I guess I've never heard of this situation happening in real life, so I don't know.
I just think, like, even if it wasn't this, if it was something, like, smaller than this, I can't really see a teacher being like, I want to come back to this same school. Because it's true, you do have to deal with jerks like Lucas. Boy, I seriously cannot believe Mia is still dating Lucas after he's doing all this shit on the side. Like, blows my mind.
She does dump him.
Yeah, after he like gets drunk with her baby.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just thinking, like, Snake is a full-grown adult and he's letting teenagers' opinions of him get to him, which felt a bit immature to me, but I guess I don't know how I would really feel in that situation.
High schoolers can be mean, Jasper.
Do you let high schoolers' opinions of you get to you?
I mean, you'd like to think it wouldn't, but opinions of anybody get to anybody, even if they're kids, because kids are blunt and they're mean, and half the time they mean it, which is even worse.
I guess so.
You'd like to think that it wouldn't get to you as much as it would, but in my opinion, I don't blame him for getting that upset. Honestly, I really don't. Like, I think he shouldn't have went home and got drunk and been pissy about it. But I do think that he needed to kind of snap at work in order for him to realize, like, I'm not okay. And to get counseling.
Yes, I agree with that. Okay, I will take your judgment on this as an actual teacher. So, like, I guess I just don't blame Spike for being pissed at him.
Oh, I don't either. I think that's totally fair, too. I think that everything that happened, like, seems relatively realistic, except for maybe the drunk part. Because it doesn't really seem like Snake's a big drinker anyway, so I was kind of confused why he was day drinking. But Spike and him have been through a lot. So I'm not shocked that she was like, I need to do this for myself. Because they did have that really rough conversation of, like, why are you scared to go back? Because kind of like how you were thinking, you're like, why is he taking this so personally from kids? And then she was like, did you do it? You know? And like, if you have to have that conversation with someone that you're married to, like, you're pretty much asking, are you a pedophile? And like, well, that's a really hard thing to come back from once you ask that, especially since like, she was hoping he wasn't, but you know.
I don't think she was asking him if he had actually done it. She asked him like, if you did anything inappropriate, which honestly, we talked about this. He did. He was being inappropriate with Darcy.
Yeah, but I think she was implying like, she was asking a leading question. She didn't want to full out be like, did you touch a girl? You know what I mean? She didn't want to full out say it because that's a lot to accuse someone of.
I guess so.
But I feel like I couldn't have even imagined having that conversation with someone, especially like me being a teacher and me being, let's say I'm married to a teacher and this happens, I would probably have some doubt. I would be like, what is going on? You know, like, even if you don't want to.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you'd like to think you know somebody.
Right.
But do you ever know anybody? True crime. That's it.
But yeah, I didn't blame Spike. Like, I was like the same opinion as her. I was like, Snake, you're a mess and you don't need to be a mess. So I'm getting out of the situation for my own health.
Yeah, I don't blame her for taking time also. I think that was a good thing. It was interesting that she didn't push Emma more, but I think she kind of knows how stubborn Emma is going to be. So I'm sure she was like, I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah. As I said before, I loved how Emma stayed because that just showed her growth and her maturity.
Oh, yeah. That's why I thought it was kind of interesting for her to be like, why is this happening to me? Me, me, me. And then like when he's in the lowest of the low, she's like, you know what? I'm here. Like, I'm going to stay. And I was like, you know what? Good for you, Emma. Because if she left, I'd be like, you're so annoying. I can't deal with this.
Yeah, but Snake comes back and never leaves. So it all worked out.
Yeah, he becomes principal, probably superintendent at some point. Like, he does it all. Good for him.
And to close out this grouping, we finally have to say a final goodbye to Sean.
This makes me sad. It was really sad watching because I was like, oh, Sean really is gone forever because then stupid Emma marries stupid Spinner. I can't deal with it.
Yeah, I did think this episode was a good way to close out his character, though.
Especially since they were still keeping in contact. So I feel like we kind of knew he would have either had to come back at some point or like we would have needed to hear from him. But it was really cute. I really liked how he was like, I'm going to leave some stuff here because you're the... Here, I wrote down the line because it was so sad. You guys are who I want to come back to.
Yeah, that was cute, but also sad that, like, thinking about how he left Degrassi to go live with his parents, that even that time with them, he still doesn't feel close to them enough to, like, even want to come back to them again.
Yeah, well, I don't care that much about his parents.
Well, you know I love to overanalyze Sean to death. So, like, I'm just thinking, like, it's just so sad how Sean felt he didn't really have anybody else besides his ex-girlfriend and her family.
I guess. I mean, they've been together since, like, what, season one almost?
Yeah, but then they were broken up for a couple years and then he left.
Well, I mean, like, they've been friends. Like, him and Snake had a really close relationship. Or Simpson, whatever you want to call him. Which I feel like was almost better than the relationship he had with his parents, honestly.
No, it was.
Yeah, so I'm not shocked that he picked them.
Yeah, like, I love how this episode was about Sean and Snake's relationship rather than Sean and Emma.
Me too. It was good.
Because most of Sean's character revolves around Emma, right? But I say Sean's biggest season is season 3, which is the season where he gets roped up with Jay and stuff. And I'd say that in that season, his relationship with Emma was just as important as his relationship with Snake, because that's where he steals Snake's laptop when he has cancer.
Yep.
So, like, just kind of bringing back that dynamic, because we haven't really seen Sean and Snake interact one-on-one outside of Emma since then. So it was nice to kind of see them bring that back and have Sean have a positive adult figure in his life.
I liked it. Yes. I was happy they brought him back.
Yes. And I wanted to show the scene where Sean and Snake have their little comfort scene. I don't know how to call it. Let me bring that up.
I wish you told me you were shipping out to Afghanistan. That little outburst would have... I guess it just hit me. I'm sorry. If you need to talk about it or...
I'll be fine. Just don't worry. I'm a good soldier.
I have no doubt that you are. I bet you're one of the best.
I'm scared, Snake. Terrified.
You're working through your fears to do something that you feel is really important. Proud of you.
It's a good thing you're a teacher. You always say the right thing.
Well, I had a lot of practice on a kid I used to know. Hated teachers, but was pretty good at gym, though.
You think he turned out okay?
Oh, I cry every time. So the main thing I just wanted to point out in that scene is, I know I've talked a lot about how Sean's whole character really is that he's terrified of being a bad person and that he really wants to be a good person. And so, like, him kind of saying that, like, yes, I am a good soldier, it was like him convincing himself that, yes, I am a good person and I'm doing the right thing. So I thought that was a good way to kind of wrap up his character, how, like, he is still kind of dealing with those inner thoughts that he is a bad person, and he is kind of learning how to not have that negative self-talk about himself, and that he needs, like, authority figures like Snake to, like, help him through that, because Sean has never had positive adults in his life.
Oh, I guess, yeah, the army is probably the best thing for him, honestly.
I could think of better things for him, but...
Well, this situation, he needs some structure. And I feel like that's maybe okay for him.
Yeah. I just wish he got to graduate.
I mean, not everybody does.
But, like, part of Sean's whole thing was that he wanted to be the first person in his family to graduate.
Yeah, but then he like killed Rick.
No.
Sorry. Like, things happen. Life changes. You can't always do everything, but I think what he did what is best for him.
Yes. And this is our final goodbye to Sean Cameron after like two almost goodbyes before this.
Aww. It's tough. It's tough. Rough.
Yes. Okay. You ready to move on to Manny?
Manny and Jay. Oh my gosh. It's going to be a while. Let's go.
Okay. Okay. So as we already talked about, Manny does the most this season. So the first thing is that her and Damien try to actually date for real for like a couple hours, but they break up pretty immediately because they disagree about the Degrassi Lakehurst unity. And so they're joking about like how short their relationship was. And then Damien is like, oh, you broke up with me because I'm black, huh? And then he's like, oh yeah, you're black, blah, blah, blah. And then Holly J, of course, comes up and is like, oh my God, she's a racist. So Holly J starts spreading rumors around the school, which leads to Manny needing to defend herself. And then she kind of calls Damien out in front of the school to make him announce that she is not a racist. And that kind of causes the push for people to vote for Degrassi Lakehurst unity. And so Manny was showing her political savvy there and kind of screwed over Damien. So good for her. And then that kind of sets the tone for Manny's rest of the season, because the next thing that happens is that she has her debut, which kind of seems to be a Filipino coming of age ceremony for when a woman turns 18. And so her family has been planning this debut for a while, but Manny doesn't really want it to happen. And she also is still kind of fighting with her dad over wanting to pursue acting. And so Manny runs into Jay because she like does a fender bender with her dad's car or something, so she needs it fixed real quick. And so she runs into Jay at the auto shop. And so she asks Jay to like kind of be her quote unquote boyfriend at her debut to kind of piss her family off, because Jay has a bad reputation and that he's sleazy, blah, blah, blah. So she just kind of wants to piss her parents off. But Jay actually ends up impressing her parents, which pisses Manny off because she wants to make them mad so that she could kind of have more freedom from them. But she ultimately proves to her dad that she is a capable actress by kind of acting with her dad that like she's going to go live on a farm or something with Jay. And so she convinces her dad that acting is a good career path for her and that she can make a life out of it. And her dad is convinced and allows her to apply to college for acting. And yeah, her and Jay just kind of stay in contact from there. And Jay, a couple weeks later, kind of pops up and is like, oh, hey, Manny, you wanna actually go on a real date? So they go on a real date and Manny realizes that she has feelings for him. And they kiss for the first time outside of Manny's apartment, but her dad catches them and Manny in the heat of the moment is like, we're engaged, we're celebrating. And so thus begins the fake engagement of Manny and Jay, just to kind of let Manny have some freedom from her parents, and they will date while being fake engaged. So they're like a couple, but not really, kind of undefined situation at this point. Next is that Manny, Emma, and Liberty decide to go on a road trip to Smithdale for Manny's audition for the drama department. And Manny records her demo reel with Jay at the auto shop. And Jay kind of stealthily records them also making out and makes a CD out of it. But when Jay starts talking about having a future with Manny, like, oh, we're going to have kids and like, we're going to get married for real, blah, 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 Manny gets mad at him and kicks him off of the road trip. And in the heat of the moment, Jay decides to swap Manny's demo reel with a makeout video and does not let Manny know. He eventually pretty quickly realizes that he did a shitty thing. So he also goes on a road trip with Spinner and Jimmy to Smithdale, and antics ensue. He like gets arrested, blah, blah, blah. Manny realizes that Jay swapped the demo reels and is pissed. She ends up making out with some frat bro. She screws up her audition because she is stressed about the whole thing. And then Jay comes in at the last second to just see Manny screw up. And there's a whole big fight between them. And then Jay realizes that he needs to make it up to her. So he kind of seduces the admissions lady what was her name? Professor Dunwoody, I think. So he like spends the whole day with her, gets a little drunk, like massages her feet. It was really weird, but he convinces the professor to give Manny a second chance. So Manny kills her audition. She gets into the program. There's one last little conflict between Manny and Jay about like how she made out with a frat bro or whatever, but they make up and decide to be engaged for real, especially when they see Craig at the concert and Manny realizes that Craig is so yesterday, quotes from Hilary Duff. And yeah, Manny and Jay decide to give it a good shot. But since they are now engaged, Manny wants to meet Jay's parents, but Jay does not want to talk about his past and lies that they are living in Malta. And so Manny pawns her engagement ring, which she didn't know was a real diamond, but turns out was a real diamond, to get Malta tickets. But Jay is like, oh shit, my lie failed, because it turns out that Jay's mom died when he was young and his dad has had like multiple wives since then. And Jay is kind of estranged from his dad because he made a scene at like the wedding or something with his stepmom. So yeah, they're both kind of sad that Manny pawned the ring, but they try to get the ring back by selling the Malta tickets. But of course, they cannot get enough money. So Jay ends up breaking into the pawn shop to try and get the ring back and lies to Manny about how he got it back. But of course, Manny finds out about his lies once again and breaks up with him for real, saying that like, you went back to the old Jay and I cannot be with you anymore because you are a liar and a criminal. And that is the end of Manny and Jay, at least for now. The last thing that Manny does is that her agent gets her a role on West Drive as just some character, I don't know. And she initially decides to take the role instead of going to college at Smithdale for acting. But when she is like talking to the other cast members on the show, they're like, oh my God, you gone to Smithdale? I wish I could have gone to Smithdale because I'm a shit actor. So. Because of this, Manny decides instead to go to Smithdale with Emma. And Emma is happy that she gets to room with her bestie once again. And that's it. That's it for Manny. So many things.
Sorry, I was like, I feel like there's more, honestly. Okay, let's speed through Manny and Damien because, again, I don't really like Damien. I don't care for him and Manny. Like, their little joke back and forth pretty much got everybody calling her racist because Holly J's fucking annoying. But it did ultimately help Lakehurst and Degrassi become unified because Manny used it in her favor because Damien thinks she's dumb. So it all worked out.
Yeah, the main thing I could say about Manny and Damien is that it was mostly an episode to establish the status quo of the season. Like, this was like one of the first times that Holly J was a manipulative bitch for no reason. So just kind of establishing her as that kind of archetype. It kind of established the Lakehurst conflict, how Damien is a little bit of a player. It also showed how Manny respects herself in a relationship for like the first time ever.
Yeah, I give Manny so much props. It took me so long in my life to figure out like that there's no point in making every relationship work. And she literally was like, no, you disrespected me. You don't agree with the same things that I agree with. And I think she said the personal is political. And I really like that because it's true.
Yes.
It's true. Sorry. But I really like that she stuck to her guns. She's like, you have fun with Emma and I'm going to live my life.
Yeah. So it was just kind of showing where Manny is at for the whole Jay saga and how she's going to kind of act in her future relationships and her relationship with Jay.
Yep. Should we go into that?
I wanted to talk about her dad first.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's kind of what kicks off the Manny and Jay relationship, that she wants to piss off her dad, but it doesn't work, and that leads to the Jay relationship, but her dad is like the main factor in that.
It was kind of annoying in the beginning, because you're like, oh, he definitely is going to have some growth, because he like kicked her out and then they moved back together, and like for all we know that they've been back together since and like it has been fine. But Manny is like, I don't really want to do this. And then he's like, you don't want to do this? Well, guess what? Now you have to go to college for science. And I'm like, yep, that's classic man thing. Sorry, not you, Jasper, but
classic controlling dad thing.
A very classic, like, you don't want to do it my way. Well, now you don't get any thing that you want. And it's like, ugh, I don't like it.
What I didn't really realize about this episode before rewatching this time was I always thought this episode was just like the start of Manny and Jay. I didn't really realize that the main part of the episode was her dad. Like, I don't know if I just forgot that or I just never realized it before, but like this whole episode with her debut coming of age party thing is that it's really the follow-up of the episode in season 5 where she got kicked out. Like the whole thing in that episode was that she got kicked out because she wanted to do acting and then she didn't interact with her parents for months, if not over a year. And then she finally moves back in season 6 because of the JT thing. And we haven't really seen what their new dynamic is like now that she's back at home. And so this is like the first time that we're really seeing what that dynamic is now that she's back. And we could see that it's a little better. He's not calling her a slut and like verbally abusing her, but he is still very unsupportive of her and her goals.
It's like, wow, he's doing the bare minimum as a human.
Right.
I also was kind of shocked that Manny wasn't really into the debut thing because it just kind of seems like a fun big party. I wonder if it's the fact that her second cousin was hitting on her that really made her not want to do it. Because I also would not be a fan of that.
Yeah, I think it was not so much she didn't want the party. It was just she didn't get to have a say in how the party went. It was a party for her, but it was her parents doing all the planning and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I was kind of like, oh man, you got to pick your battles. And I feel like this is not one that you need to be like too stubborn about. But I also can see where she was like, wait a second. Now you're telling me I can't even be an actress and you're making me have this party. Like, that's annoying.
Like, how do you feel about the fact that Manny's dad did not a full 180, but he got on board, not with too much fighting, I would say.
About like, what specifically?
So like he's fully against the acting. Like he's been against the acting for years at this point. Mm-hmm. And then Manny like acts that she's gonna go live on a farm for like 5 seconds, and now he's convinced that she's a good actress, even though she was literally in a movie.
She lied. I don't know. I don't even think that was acting. I think it was just, she just straight lied and then was like, I was lying, but it was acting. I'm like, I don't know. I think that he changed because he is sexist and she was with a man. And he was like, okay, like you have another support system, Jay. And if acting doesn't work out, you have Jay to fall back on, which is kind of what it seemed like. Because all of a sudden, the second she got with Jay, he was like all about it, whatever she wanted to do.
I don't think so. Like, it wasn't because of Jay that he was like, oh yes, you have a man to support you, so now you can do whatever you want. He still wanted her to like pursue science. Like, that didn't change just because she had a fake boyfriend.
Well, he was like okay with her doing acting. He was like, but just like take some science classes. And she was like, okay. And that was the end of it.
Well, but yeah, I guess that's the confusion I have, because like he literally kicked her out because she wanted to be an actress. There was also the piece that she was trying to get plastic surgery too, but like acting was the biggest part of it, right? So the fact that he went from hating her so much for acting that he kicked her out to just kind of being like, oh yeah, no big deal.
Well, wasn't the whole point of her moving back was because he changed? Like, that's what she said. She was like, I spoke to my dad, like things are going to be different, and things are different. Like he took a step back, but I think like her addressing it and being like, I'm acting, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I think he was kind of like, all right, like I'm a changed person, so I can support you.
Yeah, I guess I just wish we saw that change.
We were not going to see that change. We were not going to see a behind the scenes for that growth for her dad. Like, he's not a big enough character for them to show that.
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking of, like, Audra and how we saw her growth over the seasons.
I guess. But I think that was kind of, like, a completely different thing. Like, really different. Like, this isn't a choice that Adam was making. Like, this was his life. Like, she kind of had to get over it.
Well, not even just that, just like in general. Like, she was a bitch to Bianca, and then she was able to change her opinions on Bianca and like Drew's life trajectory. So like, yeah, I just wish we saw like Manny's dad actually like slowly coming to terms with Manny and her choices, because even though if I can accept that it happened behind the scenes, it did seem, compared to how awful he was, it's a bit of a disconnect for me that like he was so awful the last time we saw him and now he just kind of gives in without too much of a fight.
That ties into the whole thing. She moved back in because things were going to be different, and these are the things that are different.
Okay.
I think that's just kind of what you have to accept, is that like whatever happened behind the scenes, like they're meeting together, the dad is willing to be flexible so that she doesn't, because she can't just up and leave again. Like, why not? She's already done it before. I guess I was jumping to conclusions about the Jay thing. The Jay thing kind of comes in later when he like trusts her to do all these things because she's with a man, which pisses me off. But
yeah, but specifically with the acting thing and him coming to terms with that, Manny did all that by herself.
Yeah.
So I did like that, how even though she was trying to get Jay to not convince her parents, but just kind of make her parents angry, and so they would give her more freedom. I don't know what kind of logic that is, but like, I like how she did the work herself rather than having Jay do it for her.
Yeah. I mean, it worked out in her favor too. So at least for the college stuff, and she's going to take some science classes and there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if they showed the conversation that happened between Manny and her mom about moving back in, I think that would have settled you more with this idea.
Yeah, because like the problem with me is like he was very abusive to her and they don't really address that. So that's the main thing for me. It's like he was so terrible and we need to talk about how terrible he was rather than just throw it under the rug.
I mean, I don't know. That's like a whole other deep dive. Like, what is he going to do? Go get therapy?
I wish.
Yeah, no, they're not doing that. They barely got Snake to get counseling. Like, there's no way they're going to get, a non-generation Canadian to
yeah.
get therapy.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that part too, because Manny kind of brings it up, but they don't really talk about it too much, about how like it's like an immigrant family thing that she's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And how like there's expectations for immigrant families compared to, I guess, native families. So they kind of bring it up here and they don't really do too much with it. But it is a big deal with Allie and Sav and their parents in the next few seasons. So.
And kind of same with Marco and his dad. Like, because he's very like religious and like same thing. Marco's like, I can't come out to my dad. Like that kind of stuff. And then Riley and his parents are immigrants as well. Same thing.
Right.
So there's like a lot of like the immigration parents, very traditional kind of thing, it seems like.
Yeah, I just like, I liked the detail. I wish they went a bit more into it, but I do like how they further explore this idea, especially with Allie and Sav.
Yes, especially with Allie, I would say, if anything.
Yeah, for sure.
Wait, anything else with her dad?
Not really. I guess going more into her actually pursuing acting outside of her dad, like that's the whole, the road trip thing, and like she picks college over West Drive.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good, honestly. It was interesting that conversation with like the actor about like, wow, if I got into this school, like I would have went, like, what are you doing here? What's happening with the same conversation with Spinner and the musician who was like, yeah, this is all I do. I smoke weed and I play drums. Like, it's a great life. And Spinner's like, ah, shit, I can't do that. Like, it was literally the same episode. It was crazy.
Yeah. I also thought, I don't know if this was intentional, but it was a little shady towards the actors, where the actor was like, yeah, I've been on the show for 9 seasons because I can't get anything else. I was like, are you saying anything about your actors who have been here for 7 seasons at this point?
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
I was like, is that shady or like, are you just making a joke?
I feel like they were shooting shots at a different show. Maybe that was going on at the time.
I don't know. It was a little sus to me.
I feel like, why would they shit on their own actors? That'd be crazy. They also just got Natasha Bedingfield. I feel like they were in the prime of Degrassi.
True, true.
Could you imagine? That's so awkward.
Yeah. But regardless, I love how acting has been a consistent part of Manny's character since like season 4, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It really has been.
Just seeing her try and pursue acting like consistently has been very nice. Cause I thought that like that whole road trip was basically a preview of Degrassi Goes Hollywood.
Yes, and, yeah. Me too.
A little more grounded than Degrassi Goes Hollywood for sure, but like kind of the same idea with Manny like doing whatever it takes to pursue her dreams of acting.
Yes, absolutely. I'm just happy that they kept her consistent with the acting. I think that that was a really good move for them and that she didn't give up on it even with all the family drama.
Yeah, and also over Jay. Like the whole road trip episode is her basically choosing acting over Jay.
I hate Jay. Can we talk about him? I have a lot of thoughts.
In a second. But she basically chooses acting over Jay. And that just kind of shows how far she's come, not only in her pursuit of acting, but again, how she interacts in relationships. Because with Craig, I guess with Craig, she wasn't as bad as Ellie, where Ellie was ready to give up her whole career for Jesse. But Manny still kind of like, you know, was a bit of a lapdog towards Craig.
I was going to say, with Jay, she was upfront and honest the entire time that this was not going to be a forever thing. So I don't think she was ever going to pick Jay over school. So,
But like, yeah, I like that aspect.
Yeah.
But Jay, there's a lot to unpack in their relationship.
All right. Well, I don't think Jay changed. I think Jay's a jerk. I think he'll always be a jerk. I think he's too old and he's not allowed to be at the school. So I don't think you should be dating him, Manny. I don't care who likes Jay and Manny. You're wrong.
Okay. They're not my favorite. I know they're a very popular couple, but they're not my favorite.
I don't know how they're popular. He's garbage. He treats her like garbage.
He does make up for it, though, most of the time.
He caused this whole road trip drama. He literally almost screwed up her entire life because he's a selfish man. And then she goes, you drove 2 days to fix. You caused the problem. You were the one that gave her your sex tape. Enough cameras, Manny. No more. We're not doing this. Like, I'm so done with him. He's such a jerk. He didn't do a good thing. I would never have gotten back together with a guy who pulled that shit. No way.
Okay, I'm not sure how productive this conversation is going to be, but...
I'm sorry, I just have a higher standards for Manny.
Yes, me too. I will say I do agree that Jay did not really grow. Like, they've been trying to sell us on the fact that Jay is a different person.
He's not. But
I didn't really see that.
Nope. Jay is somebody who is a somewhat decent friend. That's all I'll give him. He was a good friend to Manny when she needed him to pretend to be engaged to her. When they started dating, I was like, okay. Like, he was pulling through for the other stuff because he liked her. Like, that's fine. But then he did the video thing and I was like, I'm over it. Nope. We don't do that.
Yeah, like for me, it was kind of similar to how we talk about Peter. That was like, did Jay change or did he actually just like somebody enough to not treat them like shit?
And he still treated her like shit.
Yeah. Even like in addition to that, like you said, like Jay has managed to be a decent person on and off. He's been always a pretty good friend to Alex. He's been a good friend when it mattered, like when Spinner wanted to burn the school down. When JT was about to overdose and he called the 911 to help him out. It's like Jay has recognized when it's necessary to be a good person. It's just when it's not necessary, he's still pretty toxic.
Yeah, especially I thought it was really interesting because I think at one point they joke about the STD thing they're like, oh, usually dates end in the back of your van. And I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot that Jay is the reason our podcast exists and is named The Social Disease. So you'd think that would be sketchy.
Right. Because, like, as a character, Jay has never really been his own character, right? He's always been, like, a supporting character. Like, I kind of view him as the devil on the shoulder for pretty much everybody. Like, he was that for Sean. He was that for Spinner, even with Emma with the social disease and JT.
And with Manny for lying to her parents. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm down.
Right. So, like, he's always kind of been that character. I will say, like, I do think he grew a little bit here and there. Like, when he lost Sean because he left, when he lost Spinner because Jay tried to screw over Spinner and Darcy. So, like, I could see how Jay has had small bursts of growth here and there. But when Manny is saying, like, oh, you are the new Jay, you don't do these things anymore, I'm like, what do you mean? He hasn't changed that much. He's still kind of skeezy, and he just lied to you about his parents like 2 episodes ago. Why do you think he won't break into a jewelry store?
Yeah. Jay is not a character that has changed. He really isn't. I think he's been pretty much the same the whole time. They tried to make it like, oh, his home life is so hard. And it's like, yeah, a lot of them have hard home lives. Manny's dad was a dick like 2 seasons ago. You don't see her acting like this. Like, come on.
Yeah, and also Jay is a full adult at this point.
Yeah, when Manny's like, he's 20, 21, no one knows.
Yeah, that was a very meta joke, and I really liked it.
I liked it too.
But yeah, like, at this point, Jay is a full adult, and he should not really be pulling the shit anymore.
No.
I guess you could justify, like, his shitty actions in season 3 and 4 and whatever by him, like, oh, his mom's dead and his dad is a dick. But, like, at this point, I don't really have sympathy for him being a bad person anymore.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. So in terms of, like, everyone trying to sell me that Jay is a good person, I don't buy it. I will say I do love Manny and Jay's chemistry. Like, they have a ton of chemistry. I see your frustration that they are probably not a fantastic match, but I guess it's my favorite remaining relationship, but that's not a very high bar to pass either.
I mean, I guess, the chemistry's fine. I think it's because Manny thinks that this is a real adult relationship. I think that's why. Because everything with Craig has been bullshit. Like, Damien, same thing. Like, she's ready for something real, and she thinks it's with this old man, so.
But how I kind of view it is that the main conflict of their relationship is that they just don't set boundaries with each other.
Okay. I was going to say, it's probably because they lie to each other all the time, but right. It could be that too.
So, like, the whole issue in the road trip episode was that Jay is, like, talking about a future with her, and Manny is like, no, I do not want a future with you. So, like, it just seems like there was a miscommunication when they actually decided to get together about, like, the expectation for their relationship.
But there, like, wasn't, though, because she had said it 3 other times before this. I was, like, keeping track. She's like, this isn't going anywhere. I'm going to go to college. Like, once I leave, you're good to do whatever you want. You cool with that? And he's like, yeah, I got a hot girl, free food, like, no commitment. Awesome. They were on the same page. He was just not listening anymore. And then was shocked when, after one day of them being together and was bringing up children, I also would be like, I'm out. No way would I be okay with someone joking like that in front of my friends after dating them for 2 days. You're okay. Like, maybe.
Yeah, I guess I forgot about, like, the scene where they talk about, like, no commitment, free food.
And they also say it when they're filming, too.
Yeah.
It's brought up multiple times that this isn't going anywhere, so I don't know why he was surprised when she says again that this isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I guess Jay just should have had a conversation like, hey, I actually caught feelings. Can we make this a real thing?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it should have went. Because she was upfront and honest, and it seemed like he was confused. I don't really know. But then that's when he was mean. So it's like, when he doesn't get his way, he's mean.
Right.
And that I don't like at all. I'm confused as to how people think Manny and Jay are like it.
They just look great together and they have a lot of chemistry. And like, regardless of what you think about Jay, he is a very charismatic character.
Yeah, he is, but he's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is Craig. Craig is also very charismatic. I don't think you can like hate Craig and also hate Jay. Or and like Jay. Sorry. I don't see how you can hate Craig and like Jay.
I agree in this season.
I agree in every season because Jay got Jimmy shot. Jay spread a lot of chlamydia. Jay cheated on Alex. Jay, what else did he do? Help me out. Spinner and Darcy. Jay is garbage. Like, there's just no, like, I don't know. I feel like I personally wouldn't be able to date somebody that I know did all of those horrible things and then expected them to be any different with me. I think Manny had to learn that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm thinking specifically how Jay was in his relationship with Manny is kind of the standard that I'm thinking of when comparing him to Craig, as you just said.
Okay. He was nicer to Manny when they were in their fake relationship.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, based off season 7, they are not a good couple.
Okay.
But then season 8, Degrassi Goes Hollywood, I do think he steps it up there. I think that's where I'm like, okay, I'm a fan of them.
I'll have to see how he steps it up because I don't know. Right now, he's not proven it to me.
Well, I agree for now.
I think what also pissed me off the most was the ring thing. Because they were both at fault. Jay lied. Manny shouldn't have sold the ring. Even though her intentions were good, like, it was not. I think what it comes down to is a lot of these engagement plots in almost every movie, whatever. The girl sells the ring or, like, whatever. And then they're like, that's not your ring to sell. And it's like, well, you gave it to me, blah, blah. It's like always that. I feel like that's always how it goes. And like, was it her ring to sell in that situation? I don't think so. But also, Jay's a fucking liar. So I don't know what, this is like what happens when you lie. Sorry.
Yeah, I fault Jay a lot more than I fault Manny.
Okay, me too. I agree.
I guess I've never thought about ring ownership for engagements before. So I don't really have an opinion on that. But like, Jay told her this was a fake diamond in the first place. So he lied about the fake diamond and it turned out to be a real diamond. And then he lied about his parents. So then Manny is like, in my mind, if I were Manny, I'd be like, okay, he doesn't care about this ring.
Yeah.
Regardless of like the ownership of it.
I agree.
So I would not feel bad about pawning it off to help my fiance visit his family.
Mm-hmm. I also don't think this was the first time that he said his parents were in Malta, right?
I think it was.
Oh, I thought he said it to Spinner at some point. Maybe.
Not that I could remember.
Okay, because it sounded familiar, so I was like, did he say something like this? I'll have to look into it, but I was just like pissed how he was treating Manny after all this. They were trying to sell the tickets and it didn't work out, like they were getting into fights over this stupid thing. And then of course he results back to stealing and calls her a bitch. That got me.
Yes.
That got me. I was like, we are not doing this. Manny is better than this. Manny had to deal with Damien not liking the same political stuff as her. And now this guy is sitting here calling her a bitch. No. Mm-mm.
Jay did realize, like you could see it on his face right as soon as he called her a bitch. He was like, oh shit, I should not have done that. That doesn't make it better. It doesn't make it better. I'm just saying, like, he realized he fucked up.
I feel like that's the look that guys give after they do something stupid, but they're not going to say, I'm sorry. They're like, yeah, it's too late.
Yep.
Ugh. That's why I can't stand it. It's like, Manny deserves a man who is not going to treat her like garbage, and she has yet to find one.
I hate that for her.
I know, and she's so great. She's definitely my favorite character from seasons 1 to now.
Okay, anything else for Manny and Jay?
No, I think overall Manny had a great season as usual. She's amazing, she's awesome, and she held her own.
Yes, like I love how she became the main character over Emma in this season.
Me too, except the bangs were so rough. They were just a little short.
But this is also blonde Manny in the beginning.
I love Blonde Manny. I think if she was going to do the bang, she should have stayed blonde. Like, that was my opinion.
Yeah, honestly, I don't hate the blonde as much as most people do, but it's still rough.
No, I like the blonde. I'm kind of jealous. I always want to go blonde.
All right. So let's close this long-ass episode out with Liberty Van Zandt. So we're closing with her because she pretty much is the point of view of the graduation episode. So we want to just close off with the graduation of these characters that we followed since they were in season seven. I mean, grade seven, not season seven. Okay. So again, Liberty is just kind of around the whole season, but towards the end, we have the whole Liberty versus Damien thing for valedictorian. So they both need to give a speech to the senior classes about why they would be a better valedictorian so that the seniors could vote for who they want to be valedictorian. So Liberty and Damien are talking about things, and Damien is flirting with her, calling her smart and beautiful and such. And when Liberty asks him if he was flirting, he gaslights her and says no. And so Liberty gets pissed about this, so she makes a video trashing him. And then in class, when they are about to show the video, Damien has a nice video saying like, oh, both me and Liberty are fantastic. We would both be great valedictorians. And just as Liberty is about to trash Damien in her video, the power goes out. And by the light of JT York, I'm sure is how this happened, that she gives a speech pretty much saying the same thing, that like, I am good and Damien is good and you should pick either of us. So her ass gets saved. She apologizes to Damien for getting saved at the last minute. And Damien admits that he was flirting with her. And so this is a setup for the graduation episode where Liberty finds out that she has won a contest for Natasha Bedingfield to perform at their prom. And her and Damien are getting a little closer, talking about like prom planning and like the end of school. And they say they're both going to Banting, even though that doesn't happen. And yeah, so there's lots of flirting throughout the episode until eventually Liberty hooks up with Damien. And everyone finds out pretty immediately. Toby is jealous about it and tells everyone at the hotel pool that they all snuck into. And so everybody, Emma, Manny, and Toby kind of ice Liberty out for a couple hours until Liberty gives a speech about friendship and how we should learn from our mistakes, and JT is dead, so feel sorry for me. So they forgive her and they talk about their lifelong friendship that they will have for the rest of their lives. And they graduate and they have a very beautiful moment at the JT York Memorial. And that is how the season ends.
Okay, so why do you think they did this to her?
Define this.
Why did they make her awful for no reason? Why did they make her hook up with Emma's boyfriend? Please analyze this because I can't figure it out.
Okay. So this is just a joke that I've seen many times. I don't care, or like in general, it's funny that Liberty cheated with Damien because Emma stole Chris Sharp away from Liberty back in season four.
Get out of here. Three lines, Chris Sharp, you mean?
Yeah. Yep. It's like, it's backstabbing. Liberty's just getting back at Emma for stealing her man.
Oh, so bad.
But yeah, regardless of that joke, I think it was just that Liberty has like just needed some attention.
Being valedictorian wasn't enough, I guess, right?
Well, that was always pretty much a given for her, right? She's always been good at school. So it's like, okay, JT's been dead. She's really only had Toby to like talk about it. Not that she has talked about it. And like, as much as they talk about how Emma, Manny, and Liberty are like best friends forever, we know that hasn't really been the case the whole time. Like, yes, they have been friends and they've known each other for years and years, but I would not say they're as best friends as they kind of talk about it. So I think it's just like Liberty just needed a pick-me-up and liked the attention that Damien was giving her.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And like, it kind of just ties into Liberty has always been a little bit selfish. Like, I think that's been a running theme for me, at least, to say, is that she really doesn't think too much about how other people feel. And I think this kind of goes into it. Like, she doesn't care that Damien's dating Emma. And like, I am not putting it all on her. It is absolutely, I would say it's like 95% Damien, 5% Liberty. It was just very shocking to me to like see her play into it. Because I thought she had more respect for Emma, but I guess like, guess not. I don't know.
I don't think it's really respect for Emma. Like, I don't think she was really thinking about Emma at all, which I guess in your opinion, that leads into the selfishness thing.
And but, the lack of respect for her as like a friend and person. I feel like if you respect someone, you're not going to hook up with their boyfriend.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you know, I'm a Liberty defender to the grave, but I just didn't mind it too much. It was just like, I don't want to defend it, but I also don't hold it against her, I guess.
Okay. Jasper, I don't know why. I don't know what, like, it's okay to be like, she is bad.
well, no, it's like, Emma and Damien weren't a strong relationship to begin with.
No, you can't say that because she didn't know that, so not cool.
Well, the fact that Damien was openly flirting with her for weeks at this point, you know, it's like, you know.
Jasper, don't be like that. Don't go hooking up with other people's partners.
Hey, listen. If you could love Manny in spite of her stealing Craig, why?
Okay, Ashley?
Yeah.
Did like, Craig lie to her about him not being with Ashley anymore?
At one point, but they were still having an affair before he started lying about it.
Yeah, but Manny's different. Manny has redeeming qualities.
Shut the fuck up.
Name one for Liberty.
Liberty is a good friend.
To who? to Toby?
Yes. Like, Liberty is very driven. She knows what she wants. Like, yes, Liberty can be very controlling and bossy at times. We saw that throughout her whole relationship with JT. But she's still a good person.
I guess. I don't know. I just, like, she wasn't sorry. She was like, hoo-hoo, I'm the other woman. That's really...
Yeah. true. I mean, she did feel sorry, but I guess she felt sorry because her friends were mad at her.
Yeah.
Mostly.
She was like, they're gonna get over it. I'm like, that's not how you should be looking at it.
And again, Emma, Manny, and Liberty, or at least Liberty, was not super close with Emma or Manny. Like, they had their moments throughout the years where they were supportive of each other, like, especially Manny and Liberty. But overall, they were not best friends. So, like, it did make sense to me how they were talking about being best friends, just because I feel that's kind of how things work towards graduation time, that, like, you're getting nostalgic about, like, oh, yes, we had good times most of the time, even if we weren't super close. So, like, it made sense that they were talking about it like they were best friends, even though they really weren't. It just shows that Liberty and Emma weren't close friends, really. And that's why it wasn't a huge deal for her to do this to her.
I guess. It just, like, opened up a whole other thing of Liberty. Like, after she hooked up with Damien and then was, like, bragging about it and coming in late and just like, hoo-hoo, like, where was I? Oh, you don't know. Like, I was, oh, Toby, you're not going to tell anyone, right? Everybody here not listening. Like, it was just crazy how little she cared, I guess, is really what it... It was exciting for her, and I think that's why I didn't like it that much.
Yeah, because this hasn't been a huge aspect of her character, but Liberty has always felt kind of boring. Like, she's felt boring for herself. Like, she has never felt like she's had an exciting life, right? I mean, she got pregnant, but that's probably the most exciting thing she could say she ever did.
And she drank alcohol that one time.
I don't think that's that exciting.
That's exciting when you're like 14.
I guess so. But yeah, regardless, okay, I just want to point this out. The scene where Liberty jumps into the pool in her dress, it's one of the most beautiful shots in all of Degrassi.
Oh, I mean, like, she is like killing it this... They all are killing it this season. They look amazing. And Liberty does, like, I don't know. I wanted them to do more with her than like what they did. I think they just kind of trashed her character for no reason.
Yeah, I like, can agree with that.
That's the thing too. It's like, look, I'm not a huge Liberty fan, but this did nothing for her. If anything, it just made her look worse. Like, why? And now they're going to spend all next season together in the same college. Like, but I will say Damien is absolute garbage. So, and I blame him like way more because he gaslit Liberty about it. She was like, you're flirting with me. He's like, I would never, ever flirt with Emma's friend. Like, you're Emma's friend, right? Like, you're making this up. And then like 2 seconds later, he's like, you're hot. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Yeah, that was really shitty. But like, despite everything, like, this is probably my favorite or second favorite graduation episode.
What one's your first one?
I'd say season 12 with the time of my life and like Eli Clare and Fiona Imogen, that all that stuff.
Instead that's probably making out with Miss O.
Every graduation episode has its faults.
No, I totally agree though. I think that one was definitely, I got emotional. Like, oh, I definitely think this is my favorite though.
Wait, Sav and Miss O is season 11, not season 12. So, never mind, actually. But, yes, the Liberty Damien thing was weird. But, like, seeing these characters graduate that we followed since season 1 when they were babies, like, it's really, like, a really awesome moment. And especially the final scene where they're at the JT Memorial Garden.
Yeah, I definitely cried a little bit.
Yeah, I cry every time, and say what you want about Unwritten, but it is a banger of a song, and like, it's not Natasha Bedingfield singing it in that last scene, right? It's like a choir or something.
I'm not sure, but you're probably right.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's like the classical studio recording of the song. So like, just them all hugging each other, and then they flip the tassel, and I'm like, oh, stop the tears.
I know, and it's really sad that it all does come back to like them bonding over JT, because it's true, like JT really did kind of keep them together almost as a friend group for a while he was alive, because he was always like hitting on Manny or like friends with Emma kind of, and then he was also friends with Toby and like having children with Liberty, like, you know, he was kind of like the little key keeping them together.
Yeah, that's true. I actually never thought of it like that.
I don't know, I think that was a good thing for them to show at the end.
Yes. Very nice moment.
Anything else about Liberty?
No. I don't want to fight you about her anymore.
Sorry. It just, again, I'm not happy that this is what happened. Like, I do think that they should have done better with her than this.
Yes.
I also don't think she would have done it, honestly. Like, I feel like that was a character development that didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Like, I think Damien's just garbage, and they just wanted to keep dragging him out.
All right. So this is the end of season 7, finally.
Woo, we did it. Definitely ranked at the top, for sure.
Do you have your full ranking ready to go?
Yes, I'm looking at it. So originally, mine was that season 4 was my top, but I think I'm going to bump season 7 to be number 1.
Number 1?
I don't know. I think, because at first, I don't know why, but I have season 4 ranked as number 1.
But you're bumping season 7 above season 4.
Yeah, I think it might be better than season 4.
I think that's a hot take.
I don't know. I'll have to think. It's definitely in the top 3, though, for sure.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because yours goes 3, 4, 5, 2.
I'd say it's definitely above 5.
Okay. Yeah, because 5 is in third place for me too. I just have 4 and 3 switched. I definitely am going to put it in the top 3.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, season 7, besides the college plots. Yeah, maybe not, because there are the college plots. I know I want to ignore them, but I can't. I can't. They were written. They happened. Overall, we do have to... Well, we don't say goodbye to... Liberty does get better next season. I remember liking her in the college plots. Am I wrong?
I mean, I don't think she's bad in the college plots. I just think she's just kind of there. Doesn't do much.
Maybe that's why. Sorry. I really feel bad now. I'm going to stick by me hating Ashley, but Liberty does deserve a little more credit than I'm giving her.
Yes. Thank you. But like, this is like the end of an era, because starting in season 8, it's like Claire gets introduced and Allie.
Yes, I saw Allie's little face on the episode 1 of season 8.
Yeah, so it's like Emma and Manny and Liberty aren't like the main characters anymore.
No.
Holly J and Mia and Anya and Sav step it up starting next season.
I'm excited because from seasons, like, I would definitely say 1 to 7, Manny is absolutely my favorite character, hands down. And then Allie easily becomes one of my favorite characters, mm-hmm. which I think I talked about so much already. So,
yeah, we got exciting things to come.
Oh, and we will be covering Degrassi Goes Hollywood at some point.
Obviously, how could we not? Yeah, so thank you for listening. We will see you very soon for season 8. Yeah, thanks. See you soon.